New insights on Habit 6, Synergize. Sergey had been studying computer science at Stanford University for 2 years when he was assigned to help new students at spring orientation. That morning, he was slated to show a guy named Larry around the campus. They didn't hit it off right away and found each other quite obnoxious. They disagreed on nearly everything, but eventually they had so much fun contradicting each other on every topic that they became friends. While both Sergey and Larry liked computers, they were total opposites. Sergey was a party guy. Larry was private and reserved. Sergey couldn't sit still. Larry had once painstakingly built a printer out of Lego bricks. When they later worked together as part of Larry's dissertation, they experimented with a new way to search the internet. At that time, you would type a word into the computer and the internet would spit back how many times the word showed up and where. Larry thought it would be interesting to search for links, not for words. He figured the more often a website was linked to other websites, the more important it was. Using his approach, search results would come up on your screen in order of importance. Sergey and Larry called their new program BackRub because it counted the number of links back to an original website. To run the program, they filled Larry's room with so many cheap computers that the university's network nearly shut down. So they moved their project into a friend's garage. Years later, more than 1 billion people use BackRub, now called Google, the company Larry Page and Sergey Brin started in a dorm. The two college guys who founded Google rarely agreed on anything. What would have happened if they had always seen eye to eye? What if they had had exactly the same talents? What if they had both been alike, either introverts or extroverts? Clearly, they needed each other's strengths to build one of the world's greatest companies. Neither could have done it alone. Believe in third alternatives. After working with thousands of organizations, we have learned at Franklin Covey that synergy works. It's not just a nice theory or an ideal. Life is a team sport. And with the right attitude and skills, you can find synergistic answers to complex problems, not all of the time, but most of the time. To find third alternatives, you have to believe they exist. You have to believe in the idea that by working together, we can find a solution that is better than what either of us had in mind. If you don't believe this, if you're thinking synergy is unrealistic and that it is either your way or my way, you will never master it. A key building block to finding third alternatives is to set aside your ego and acknowledge that you need the collective intelligence of everyone involved to find the best solution. Every individual is smart in different ways, and everyone can contribute. Increasingly, science is teaching us about how complex a thing intelligence is. Howard Gardner, a psychologist who teaches at the Harvard Graduate School of Education, proposes 9 different types of intelligence and suggests that individuals possess one or more of these attributes. Number 1, spatial. Ability to find oneself in spaces both large and small. 2, linguistic. Ability with words written and spoken. 3, logical mathematical. Ability to deal with logic, numbers, and reasoning. 4. Kinesthetic. Coordination, sense of timing, good reflexes, hand dexterity. 5. Musical. Sensitivity to sounds, tones, rhythms, and pitch. 6. Interpersonal. Sensitivity to others' moods and motives, the ability to cooperate, get along, and be team players. 7. Intrapersonal, ability to self-reflect and decipher one's own feelings. 8. Naturalist, ability to make consequential distinctions in the natural world among animals, plants, clouds, and other configurations. 9. Existential, the tendency to raise big questions about life and to search for answers. Yet another building block to finding third alternatives is conversation. We must learn to communicate with one another, a lot. We need to brainstorm, talk through issues, bounce ideas off each other, and go back to the drawing board again and again and again. Wilbur and Orville Wright would have never invented the airplane without a great deal of discussion and thorough valuing of each other's differences. Shortly before his death, Wilbur made this statement, that nearly everything that was done in our lives has been the result of conversations, suggestions, and discussion between us. At local TV stations, the news and sales departments are often in conflict. Such was the case with meteorologist Travis Koshko, who shared with me how his TV station was able to find a third alternative to a conflict through healthy communication and brainstorming. Here is what Travis told me. For many years, my television station did a 3-degree guarantee contest that incentivized incorrect temperature forecasts. Every time I missed the previous day's forecast high by more than 3 degrees, we would give away a small prize from the segment sponsor. After nearly 10 years of doing this segment, it was obvious the contest was becoming stale. The number of viewers signing up for the contest kept decreasing. We weren't missing the forecast high very often, which was great in terms of our forecasting reputation, but it also meant we never gave anything away. The number of viewers signing up for the contest eventually dropped off to near zero, and it seemed the contest was failing in terms of sponsor exposure and viewer interest. I wondered if we should cancel the entire segment, but our account executive, Josephine, wanted to keep it to maintain revenue for the station. We were at odds and needed a change. So I approached Josephine with a new idea. Why not restructure the contest to a lottery format? We would start with a small jackpot, $19, to match our station channel number. And every day we forecasted within 3 degrees, we'd add another $5 to the jackpot. We'd give away the entire jackpot when we were off by more than 3 degrees, and the jackpot would then start again at $19. This way, there was continued incentive for us to be accurate and for people to sign up for the contest as the prize increased. The first thing I noticed was that Josephine was totally open to my influence and really liked my idea. We then worked to refine and polish the idea so that it met everyone's needs, hers, mine, the sponsors, and the station's. Well, it didn't take long for our contest to become a big success. The number of people who signed up for it skyrocketed. At one point, we had a run of 41 consecutive correct days, which yielded our largest ever jackpot. It created a lot of buzz on social media, and many people would stop me outside of work to talk about the jackpots. Our sponsor was very pleased with the revamped contest, too. It would have been easy to let the contest flounder and lose a valuable opportunity, but because Josephine and I were willing to create a new alternative, everyone involved ended up a winner. I got to maintain my reputation as an accurate meteorologist, Josephine increased revenue for the station, and our viewers won a lot of money. Complementary teams. I remember complaining about my boss on one occasion, and my dad responded, "Sure, he has weaknesses, just as you do. Don't build your emotional life around the weakness of another person. Instead, run with his strengths and try to compensate for his weaknesses. Compliment him." He put this into practice himself. When he started Covey Leadership Center, he initially assumed the role of CEO. He realized very quickly, "I'm not good at this. I'm a teacher." And so he hired great people around him who could bring executive leadership skills to complement him without his ego being threatened. But the greatest example of synergy in my dad's life was between him and my mom. They were very different in their backgrounds and approach to life. My mom was raised in humble circumstances. Her mother emigrated from Germany during World War II, leaving everything behind. She didn't dare speak German in her new home, and she worked hard to erase her accent. My mom's dad was a high school history teacher, so money was always tight, whereas my dad was raised in a more prosperous environment. Because of these differences, frugality was sometimes a point of contention. My mom would say things like, "You're buying a double-decker ice cream cone? We don't have that kind of money." Through the years, I saw how Dad came to appreciate my mom's worldview and how it complemented instead of conflicted with his. It taught him that there was a middle ground, better than what they had individually had in mind. And if they communicated well, they could get there. Without my mother, I don't think my father would have ever come to understand synergy like he did. As my dad's renown grew, my mom was the only one who would give him honest feedback. Once he gave a speech along with Ken Blanchard and other notable speakers in front of a massive audience. Afterward, everybody complimented Dad. But my mother said, it wasn't your best speech, Stephen. You were so serious and had way too many diagrams. People want to hear stories. Why don't you tell more stories like Ken? Mom always encouraged Dad to be less complicated, to smile more, and to be more personal. He came to value her feedback above everybody else's because she saw things differently, and she would always tell it like it was. Synergy with customers. In addition to interpersonal synergy, we can find striking examples of the power of creative collaboration among industries, stakeholders, and customers. Personally, I love Legos, and the Lego Corporation has always fascinated me. It is one of the most trusted companies in the world. One of their core strengths is synergy with their customers. Since 1949, Lego has created and released their beloved bricks in prepackaged sets, like the popular Star Wars collection. Many customers, mostly adults who were children at heart, pleaded with the company to let them design their own sets and order the pieces they needed online. In 2005, in response to that demand, Lego created a free software product called Lego Digital Designer to make this possible. Then, curious things began to happen. Users created software hacks for Lego's computer systems, stealthily rewriting the program code so that, rather than ordering pallets of bricks with only a few bricks they may need, they could see an inventory of each pallet and save money by getting fewer of the bricks they didn't need. Lego caught on to the hack quickly, but unlike what you'd expect a company to do when their bottom line was being affected, Lego recognized the value of letting these customers adapt the software to their own needs. And while Lego was surprised at how quickly their customers were able to hack the software, Lego embraced their modifications. They saw what their most loyal fans wanted and let them have it, because it ultimately fit Lego's larger plan. Lego had hope that its fans would make the designs their own and even perhaps come up with ideas that Lego could use, and they did. In the spirit of synergy, Lego stepped back and listened to the hackers, seeking first to understand and valuing the differences of opinion. The potentially sour situation turned into a sweet display of synergistic thinking. Getting to synergy. Synergy doesn't just happen. You have to get there. If you are not sure where to start, follow the simple 5-step process. 1. Define the problem or opportunity. 2. Their way. Seek first to understand the ideas of others. 3. My way. Seek to be understood by sharing your ideas. 4. Brainstorm. Create new options and ideas. And finally, 5. Highway. Find the best solution. A colleague of mine shared how she got to synergy with her family around how to use their Saturdays. Notice how all 5 of these steps were followed. Here's what she told me. Saturdays are for spending time together and for building family relationships. That is what my husband would say if you asked him why we have Saturdays. My answer is very different. My school of thought is, Saturdays are for catching up on cleaning and doing projects around the house. Basically, finishing my to-do list. My kids do not like my philosophy. We battle almost every Saturday. Dad would want to get out and go to the park, and I would want to weed the yard. Guess who won? Every single time. Dad. I mean, what kids really want to weed the yard? Not mine. I will admit, I get a little bit of tunnel vision when I get going on a project. I have a hard time letting enough and being done. If I start cleaning the kitchen, it leads to the living room, and then the bathroom, laundry, bedrooms, etc. One Friday night, as we were watching TV, the following conversation happened between my dear husband and me. Husband: Hey, how about tomorrow we go do something outside first thing in the morning? Me: Well, there's a lot of housework to be done, and We need to get started on it early. Husband: how about you make a list of what actually needs to be done, and let's take a look at it. Me: I'm list writing as furiously as I can, praying I don't forget anything. Then I hand the list to him. Husband: okay, we can really get about half of that done in a few hours' time. Do you think the kids will really last long enough to actually be of help? Me: nope. We need a new plan, don't we? Husband: yes. Well, since it is going to be cooler in the morning, side note, it gets well above 105 degrees in the summer where we live, what if we take some time and go to the park, grab some sodas, and come home and do the chores you think are most important? Me: let's give it a try. So we woke up Saturday morning and got ready to go to the park. The kids were thrilled that we were going before it got too hot. They played for a good hour. My husband and I even got to walk around on the park trail and then play with the kids. We were all tired by the time it was getting hot. We stopped at our favorite drink place to cool off and then went home to do the chores that needed to be done. When I showed the kids a list of to-dos, there was actually very little complaining. She concluded, "My husband and I are both very happy now with what we call Synergy Saturdays." Synergy is the ultimate habit, the culmination of all the previous habits. It is the reward or the delicious fruit of effective living. So the next time you are in a meeting and someone says something that strikes you as being way off the mark, say out loud, "Good. You see it differently."